Psalm 42, and I know we're going backwards just a little bit. We've been looking at Absalom, and we saw the death of a rebel. We saw that David was on the run, and Absalom is killed by Joab. But I found another psalm that many believe David wrote while he was moving, or while he was on the run from Absalom during this period. So in 2 Samuel, let's go ahead and stand. In 2 Samuel, just a few verses to give you the context of where we're at. In 2 Samuel 17, verse number 21 says, "And it came to pass after they were departed, that they came up out of the well and went and told King David and said unto David, Arise and pass quickly over the water, for thus hath Ahithophel counseled against you. And David arose and all the people that were with him, and they passed over Jordan. By the morning light there lacked not one of them that was not gone over Jordan. And when Ahithophel saw that his counsel was not followed, he saddled his ass and arose and got him home to his house, to his city, put his household in order, and hanged himself and died, and was buried in the sepulcher of his father." Now, humanly speaking, you understand that if Absalom had listened to Ahithophel rather than Hushai, David would have been overtaken and he would have been killed, and Absalom would have been the king. Now, the reason I say that is this is the seriousness of the hour. This is a serious trouble that David is in. And I want to preach time of trouble tonight. With that in mind, though, go now to Psalm 42, and I want you to notice this was another psalm that David wrote in one of his greatest trials. Now, it would be one thing to be on the run from Saul, and David questioned why Saul would do this. But folks, this is his own son, his flesh and blood. This is his oldest son. And not only is it his oldest son that has gone against him, but he's also been betrayed by his best counselor. So maybe the message we looked at this morning, David was probably in one of those places where he felt pretty alone. And then I want you to see what he wrote in Psalm 42. This is amazing. "As the hart panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. My soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God? My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, Where is thy God? When I remembered these things, I pour out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with a voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down? Why art thou cast down, O my soul? And why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and of the Hermonites from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me." This is a man that is overwhelmed by the trouble that he finds himself in. "Yet the Lord will command his loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night his song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. I will say unto God my rock, Why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? As with a sword in my bones, my enemies reproach me, while they say daily unto me, Where is thy God? Why art thou cast down, O my soul, and why art thou disquieted within me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him who is the health of my countenance and my God." Then he goes on to say in verse 12, "As for me, thou upholdest me in my integrity and settest me before thy face forever. I like this. Blessed be the Lord God of Israel from everlasting and to everlasting. Amen and amen. Lord, I pray as we look at this tonight, and even though we've looked at Absalom and how he has turned against David and Ahithophel, and then others, Lord, that will, Ziba, Shimei, these people will lie and say things against David at this time. And we know that it's because they believe David is about to die and Absalom is about to be king. But Lord, once again, we see the psalmist cries out to God in his time of trouble. And Lord, I thank you for the message this morning, and I just feel like that this is the message for tonight, even though we've gone back just a little bit in our story of Absalom and what he did. But once again tonight, we are reminded that David is on the run, that he's been betrayed by his son Absalom. He has been betrayed by one of his best counselors, Ahithophel. He has been cursed at by Shimei. He's been Ziba has lied to Mephibosheth about the circumstances, and it just seems like that it could be at this particular time that David is done for, and David would have been overwhelmed. And as I think about the overwhelming time of trouble, and he sits down and writes a psalm, and he says, and I think there's some things that we can see here tonight that we need to get a hold of in our time of trouble. There may be people here tonight say, well, Pastor, I'm not in any kind of trouble. I don't have any overwhelming situation in my life. But we all understand from the message this morning, whether in a trial, we've gone through a trial, or there's a trial that's just over the horizon. And so, Lord, we need to know how to deal with ourself, and we need to know how to deal with your goodness in these times. So help me tonight as we look at this Psalm of David. In Jesus' name we ask, amen. You may be seated. David is in a very precarious situation. So much so that when he's on the run from Absalom, that he says to his good friend Hushai, see what you can do to turn away the counsel of Ahithophel. Because David knew that Ahithophel was a man that when he spoke as the oracles of God. The Bible talks about that. And Ahithophel, of course, was one of David's most talented and most gifted counselors. And David understood that the advice of Ahithophel could do him in. He also knew that Hushai was his friend. And so you know the story, and I'm just going to kind of go over it again. Hushai says to Absalom, don't go after David right now, you know, because you get him on the run. Remember, this is not David's first rodeo. And you get him in the corner, his men will fight. And he's got some pretty mighty men. Ahithophel, knowing that David did not have his forces, if you would, his army in order, said, pursue and you can overtake. And we know that Absalom, and I know that part of this is the hand of God. Praise God for that. But Absalom took the advice of Hushai instead of Ahithophel, not knowing that Hushai was actually working for David. So David is on the run. He's been betrayed by his eldest son. He's been bested, if you would, by Ahithophel. And Absalom has stolen the hearts of some of the people. And now he seeks the life of David. And at this time, many believe, as I said, that David wrote Psalm 42. Now, David wrote several psalms, and we've already looked at one when he was on the run during this time. You know, David didn't have time to watch TV. David tried to get a hold of God. And when he writes these things, it is his heart pouring out to God. And this psalm tonight, I want us to understand that this psalm, in the time of David's running or in the time of David's trouble, is what I call a lesson for us in times of trouble. Now, in my prayer tonight, I said in the message this morning, we either have gone through a trial, we're in a trial, or there's a trial somewhere down the line. And the truth is, we all understand this, we're all going to face problems and difficulties. I said this morning, as Americans, we try to do everything we can to be comfortable. But we don't grow very good when we're comfortable. In fact, comfortable kind of gets us in a rotten situation. And sometimes God has to put our head in a vice or put us in a situation that we have no control over to see what we're going to do. And we might not face what David is facing, but then again, who knows? Because David was facing death. It might be smaller or it might be similar when it comes to David's difficulty. In fact, let me just remind you, it's very possible to face a giant like this. Does everybody understand that David has faced giants before? He actually faced Goliath. He actually confronted a lion and a bear. And now this is I could call this, in David's life, he's gone through all of this things like the lion and the bear and Goliath and Saul and on the run in 14 years. And now God has brought him to the place of his kingship. And I believe this particular episode in David's life is probably the biggest giant he's ever faced. It's one thing when the enemy is a lion or a bear or a Philistine or Saul, but it's another thing when the giant is your own family. Somebody that's coming against you that you raised. We know from the story that God is at work behind the scenes. And listen, and that reminds me of the message this morning. And again, I'm always amazed at messages that intersect in the morning messages and the evening messages, even though one is in the New Testament in the book of Romans, and the other we find ourselves in the life of David. And as I said this morning, God is worked behind the scenes in our life also, even when we cannot see what God is doing. And we know that all things work together for good to those who love God and to those who are called according to His purpose. Now, David can't see what the end result of this situation is going to be. The only thing that we do know is that he said, now, when we get into this battle with Absalom, don't kill him. But that didn't happen. That didn't happen at all. And then we saw David in his heartbreak over the death of Absalom. Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, my son. But I will tell you that God is at work. And if God does his part, and he will, I believe God expects us to do our part. Well, what is our part? Well, I think we'll find that in the psalm tonight. Meaning this, if we want to live a victorious Christian life, then I think there's some principles of Psalm 42 that we could follow. Now the first one is this. No matter what our situation is, no matter what our trial is, no matter what the trouble is, we need to have a longing for God in all situations. Amen. Now I'm going to tell you, many times we long for the things of God when we're in trouble, and we don't long for the things of God when things are going good. One of the places that we can backslide the greatest is when everything is going good and we forget our longing for God. Now look at verses 1 through 3. This is amazing. David says it like this, as the hart or as the deer. We even sing that song. As the deer panteth for the water brook, so my soul longeth after thee. The psalmist said, David said, as the hart or the deer panteth after the water brooks, so panteth my soul after thee, O God. Now, listen, when a deer is in trouble and he's on the run and he comes to a water brook, he's panting after the water, but he's also in a dire situation. And David said, I feel myself like a deer. I'm on the run. I'm being hunted down like a dog, like a deer. And I want to stop at the brook and pant after God. God, no matter what happens, I want you to be here. His problem drove him to God, and he was perplexed over his situation. He was discouraged, there is no doubt. His hope and his longing could only bring him closer to God. Listen, my friend, Absalom is on his heels. Absalom has stolen the hearts of some of the people. Absalom would have killed his father dead with no problem if he could have got a hold of him. It was in times like these that that made David, I believe, listen to this, a man after God's own heart. I do believe that David's heart was turned toward God when he was a shepherd boy. I believe that Samuel made it very clear through God that God was looking or searching after a person after God's own heart. Listen, my friend, the one thing that God is looking for tonight is if God's people have their heart turned toward Him. Remember the message last Sunday? Your iniquities have hid you from God. And more than it being the sin, it is the condition of the heart. How many times do we read in the Old Testament that the people of Israel's hearts was turned away from God and they were turned into idols, and God just said, I just want your heart. I need your heart. I want your heart turned toward me. I want you to pant after me like a deer would pant after the water. And when a deer gets over that... I mean, that's exactly the way we should be in our heart toward God. David said, my heart longs after God like a deer at the water brook. And David was like a deer being hunted. A deer on the run comes to a cool, clear brook, and he is panting, and he finds a place of refuge and is able to satisfy his thirst for the cool drink of water. I can't believe you deer hunters kill those poor little... No, I'm just kidding. I was done with deer hunting after Bambi. No, I'm just kidding. I think it's a cool thing to kill a deer. But David says that we should pant like a deer at the brook for God. In like fashion, in our times of trouble, we should have a longing for God. You know, listen, I remember Lester Roloff, when I first got saved, he was on the radio where I was got saved down in San Antonio, Texas. And I used to listen to Lester Roloff, and I got some of his sayings. You know, I mean, I listened to him long enough to know I didn't agree with everything that Lester Roloff said. Like, coffee is liquid cigarettes. That's blasphemous to say such a thing. Hell, there you go, you drink. Y'all don't smoke them cigarettes, but you drink that black coffee. That's the same as... I was like, Lester, that ain't right. That is just not right. But I do remember some things he said, like, when you get in trouble, or when you are with God, or when you when things are going good, or when things are going bad, there'll be two things that'll either happen to you. You'll either get better or you'll get bitter. When times of overwhelming circumstances, when situations of life overwhelm us, when things are happening that we don't understand and we're not in control and we don't have the answer, we can go one of two ways. We can either draw closer to God like a deer at the water brook, or we can become very bitter and go way away from God. Now, what that does is, in one of those two things, there's a thing that's being revealed, and that what's being revealed is our heart. Because if you get bitter over things that you are out of your control, then your heart never was really close to God in the first place. And listen, God wants us to understand that God is good in the good times and God is good in the bad times, because God is good. And God's working things out that we cannot see. And I want you to understand, He is the only one that can satisfy the longing of the soul. Listen, we try to satisfy our flesh with food. We try to satisfy our flesh with pleasure. And some of the pleasures and the food, there's nothing wrong with it. I'm telling you, if you ever go on a diet, or you try to tell yourself no to a Big Mac, or tell yourself no to a hamburger, I'm telling you, your flesh will start fighting with you. It'll start talking back to you. It'll start telling you it's okay. And you're like, get away from me. Get thee behind me, Big Mac. I don't know. I'm telling you, I can't believe somebody don't like a Big Mac. I'm just telling you, that's an amazing thing. But it ain't good for the... It might be good for the soul, but it ain't good for the body. But I'm telling you, we try to have food, we try to have fun, we try to do things like that. But listen, there is only one satisfaction for the soul of man, and it's God. Amen. And we need to pant after Him. And David is on the run, and David is in trouble. But listen, David turns to God. This is another reason why God says, this man is a man after my own heart. Now, we know David failed greatly in the deal with Bathsheba. We know that he tried to hide the thing for a year. And he was the most miserable man. Because I'm going to tell you, the most miserable Christian is the one who lives in sin and he's not confessing and he's not getting right with God. But the one thing about David is we can read Psalm 51 after a confrontation with Nathan, and David turns his heart back to God, and he said, "Oh God, restore within me the joy of my salvation." Amen. Now David is even in greater trouble. And by the way, this is part of the payment when David said when Nathan told the story of the lamb. He said he should pay fourfold, and Nathan said, "You're going to pay fourfold." And he paid through his children. And I may preach a message on David and his children, because one of the things about David, he didn't know how to tell his children no. He didn't know how to discipline his children. He didn't know how to, or he didn't. He didn't know how to put them in their place. And we see Absalom that would raise up against him. And in verse number 2, notice this. Anyhow, what I was going to say is, even though David did a great sin, he also did a great repentance. But in his greatest time of need, he said, "My soul," look at verse 2, "my soul thirsteth for God, for the living God. When shall I come and appear before God?" Here's what we're needing to say. If in our time of trouble, in our time of overwhelming circumstances, we need to have a longing for God. We're not to ignore God. We are to long for God. What is it that you have a longing for? Listen, in your soul. What is it that you long for? It should be God. But so many times it's other things. While Absalom is thirsting for his father's blood, David is longing after God. And as David prays, God, listen to this, as David prays, and I believe it's very well this, because in our text, remember, it has been revealed to David that Ahithophel has given counsel against David. And now we find that David prays and God turns the counsel of Ahithophel into foolishness. He realizes his counsel, Ahithophel does, will not be followed, and he puts his house in order and kills himself. That's a man who understands the wisdom of the counsel that he's giving, and if his counsel is not followed, he understands he's toast anyway. He goes out and kills himself. "When can I come and appear before God?" David says in verse 2. Look at this. "When shall I come and appear before my God? As the deer thirsts for the water of the brook, so David longed to be in God's house." Listen, he is on the run from Jerusalem. He is on the run from where the house of God is. And you know what David is saying? "Hey, if I can just get back to the house of God, I'd be grateful. If I could just return to Jerusalem, I would go back to the house of God. I would do my vows. I would praise my God. I want to go back to the house of God." Let me just tell you this. We could put this down and make an application like this. Do you long to come to church? Do you long to be in the house of God? Do you look forward to prayer and worship and praising God? Do you look forward? If you do, you won't see staying up half the night on Saturday night and then dragging into church. I've always said Saturday, part of Saturday should be getting ready for Sunday. I mean, you ought to have your shoes shined. You ought to have your suit laid out. You ought to know where you're going. You ought to know what's going on. You ought to know what time you're leaving the house. And in my case, better make sure the message is ready and the prayer has been given. But it's not just that. I love going to church. I want to be in the house of God. You know why? Because the world has been enough for the week. I'm ready to get with God's people. Here's what David says. "As a deer panted for the water, God, I'm ready to go back to church." Amen. He's run out of Jerusalem. He longs to be back in worship. And I'm telling you, we have a heart problem if our soul does not long to know God and God's word and God's will. And the idea, do we anticipate? I've always thought, do people read their Bible knowing where, I mean, everybody knows where I'm preaching from. Do they read it? Do they try to figure out what's going to be preached? Do they want it to be digested into their soul? Does the Word of God, do you read it with anticipation? I believe every day when we're in our Bible reading, we should anticipate that somewhere in our Bible reading, God's going to speak to us personally. And we know that
in that text, whether it's in the Psalm or whether it's in Isaiah or whether it's in the book of John. We understand that there's one meaning, but God, I want you to speak to me through John. I want you to speak to me through Isaiah. I want you to speak to me through the Psalms. Most of the time, I always read the Psalms last, because if there's nothing, there's always the Psalms. Man, I was in Bible college and things would be very tough for us, and I was trying to raise a family and go to school and work a full-time job, and I'm just telling you, financially, there were some rough times in the beginning, and you know what I would always do in those times? I always go to the Psalms. And I'd start reading until God spoke in the Psalms. And you know what? I think we should do the same thing. Do you desire what God desires? His longing, David's longing was so great. Listen to this. You know what the Bible says here? He says that in verse number 3, he said, "My tears have been my meat day and night, while they continually say unto me, where is thy God?" You see, there's always that crowd that says, "Well, where's your God now, David?" And there would have been those in the crowd that David had with him. David, we're being run out of town. Ahithophel could have surely said, "Where's your God now, David?" Shimei, throwing, cursing, and one of David's men said, "Can I take his head off?" David said, "No, let him alone." Ziba, hey, there was people saying, "Where's thy God now?" And you know what David said? "My longing is so great that my tears become my food." There were critics like Shimei who was saying, "Where is your God now?" David cried, but his longing, listen, was toward God. I talked about this morning about the young man talking about being alone. Listen, we can be alone, but never alone. We can may feel like in our situation we're by ourselves, and it'll be easy for us to say, "Nobody knows what I'm going through." Time out. God knows what you're going through. Jesus Christ knows the feeling of our infirmities. The Holy Spirit is there to help with our infirmities. He makes intercession for us. Everybody with me? When you're alone, you're never alone. Amen. And there's that peace of God that passeth all understanding, even in the greatest of our trials. I like that song. There's a song that talks about tears are a language that God understands. Listen, brother, in our Sunday school lesson, we brought out that there's a book of tears. Listen, God knows your tears. God hears your tears. God knows your heart. You know what God wants from us in our tears? The longing of our heart toward Him. Second of all, not only do we need to have a longing for God, we need to have a love for God. In verses 4 through 8, he begins to pour out his soul. He begins to talk about, "When I remember these things, I pour out my soul in me. I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise, with a multitude that kept holy day. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me?" Listen to this. "Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise him for the help of his countenance. O my God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore will I remember thee from the land of Jordan, and from the Hermonites, and from the hill Mizar. Deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy waterspouts. All thy waves and thy billows are gone over me. God, I'm consumed, I'm overwhelmed, but God, I still love you." I do believe this. I believe every day when we wake up, we should sit up in the bed and say, "God, I love you." The worst thing a person can do is wallow in their trouble. "Well, I missed you at church." "Well, preacher, I'm overwhelmed. I just don't feel good. I'm depressed. I've got this pain in my heart." Well, can I remind you that the best place to be is in the house of God? The last thing you need to do is bail out on God when you're overwhelmed by your situation. Because when we wallow in our trouble or when our despair, that's when the enemy has free rein on top of us. The only recourse we have as we long for God is to love God with all of our heart and all of our soul and all of our mind. David said, "The best thing I can do is go to the house of God and love the Lord. Again, I believe that's what verse 4 is when he says, I remembered these things. I poured out my soul in me, for I had gone with the multitude. I went with them to the house of God with the voice of joy and praise and a multitude that kept holy day. If I could put it in today's terms, I'd say it like this. I can't wait for the Lord's house to be open on Sunday so we can go to church. Trouble is all around us. But when the choir gets to singing and the congregationals begin to happen and the special music that speaks to my heart and not my flesh and the Word of God is preached, my heart just gets back to where it needs to be. That's what church is for. Sometimes when we get to church, we get rebuked. Sometimes when we come to church, we get revived. Sometimes when we come to church, we get challenged. Sometimes when we get to church, we get convicted. Sometimes when we get to church, we get overjoyed, overwhelmed with the goodness of God. Yes, we all have stress, and yes, we all have trouble, and yes, the world is against me, but God's house is a reminder that I am to love Him as He loves me. Amen. You cannot get discouraged about God's love. You're going to be encouraged in the house of God, but you sit at home in front of a TV, you'll get discouraged. I hate being sick, and there's been times, I remember a couple of years ago when we had the COVID, and it made us be out of church, I think, for 2 weeks. I hated it. I hated COVID enough, but I hated it more that we weren't in the house of God with God's people. I remember when COVID, limitations is over, but I remember when we were having just live stream services. And man, it was the hardest thing I'd ever done, try to preach in front of nobody, knowing everybody was at home. But then I realized people were like, they can't stand it either. So they started coming to church. And people were parking in the back and coming in the church. And I was telling the live stream, well, just keep the camera up here and hopefully there won't be too many amens. And then every week people started coming back. And then one day I looked out and there's over 100 people sitting out there. And you know what everybody was saying? Preacher, we're sick of COVID. We just got to be in church. Amen. You know what? We should never take granted for church. Amen. We should never take it for granted, our church. Yep. The ability and the freedoms to worship. You know what? When you're away from the house of God, you can get discouraged real quick. But when I come and see God's people who are faithful, I get encouraged. Besides that, I'm always encouraged when people come to hear me preach because I consider that a modern day miracle. Look at verse number 5. Why art thou cast down, O my soul? Why art thou disquieted in me? Hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him for the help of His countenance. In verse number 5, David is in trouble, but his longing and his love for God said, I'm going to praise God anyway. And you know what? That's what we have to do. Amen. I'm just going to praise God anyway. If we will remember the goodness and the grace and the mercy of God in the midst of God's people, sometimes our troubles seem very small. Yeah. It's almost like David is saying, I don't remember why I was depressed in the first place. Oh yeah, I'm on the run from Absalom. Now listen, you can get like that in the most discouraging of situations, in the most overwhelming of troubles. You get alone in the closet with God. It's like all your troubles melt away. That's the goodness of God. You know what God is saying? I love you. I'm there. I'll work it out. And you know, I'm so grateful that sometimes God answers my prayers the way He wants me to answer. I want Him to answer. Sometimes He don't. But it doesn't matter if He does or He don't. He's still good. Amen. And I'm still to praise Him. Oh yeah, I'm on the run. But let me be reminded that God is on the throne and God is working behind the scenes. David might have thought when he's writing this, my loyal friend Hushai has spoken to Absalom and his advice is being followed. My job is to love God and long after Him, to go to church and to be faithful with what God has given me to love and what He loves. And in verse 5, his sermon in church is, hope thou in God. That's what he says. Hope thou in God. You know what our problem is today? Is our hope is in too many other things. Amen. We put our hope in our job. Yeah. We put our hope in our bank account. We put our hope in our retirement account. Hey, listen, those things are fleeting and can fly away and be gone in 30 days. But God's love and our longing after Him will never go away. Amen. And by the way, He can take care of us. Yes, turn your eyes upon Jesus. Look full in His wonderful face. And the things of this earth will grow strangely dim in the light of His glory and His grace. His love for God caused Him to praise God no matter what. And I think about our love for our children. The love that I have for my children is unconditional, even when they're knuckleheads. Our love for God should be unconditional because we know He has our best interests at heart. No matter what He allows, we got to long for Him and we have to love Him. David was so overwhelmed at his situation. Look at verse 6 through 8. God, my soul is cast down within me. Therefore I will remember thee from the land of Jordan. Verse 7, deep calleth unto deep at the noise of thy water spouts. You know what that means? David said, I am overwhelmed. All the waves and thy billows are gone over me. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. David was overwhelmed at his situation, but God is not overwhelmed. Have you ever thought that God's never been surprised by anything that's taken place? Storms will come, but guess what? God is in the storm. So David said, I want to love God, I want to long for God, and the final thing is this. These are all things. I'm going to live for God. I want to long for God like a deer at the water brook. I want to love God in all situations, and I want to live for God. Look at verse number 8. Yet the Lord will command His loving kindness in the daytime, and in the night His song shall be with me, and my prayer unto the God of my life. Look, I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? In other words, it's okay to ask God questions. Sometimes people say, you should never question God. Well, I disagree. I'm going to disagree with you. Because Jesus Christ was hanging on the cross, and He said, my God, why hast thou forsaken me? It is okay to ask God questions. Just be reminded that whatever the answer is, God is good. Amen. David said, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of my enemy? It's like, God, why is it my son? Why is my son doing this? Why is Ahithophel giving counsel against me? God, why is this happening? I think David may be having a little PTSD here. And you can get that when you get in a situation like this. But then he goes on to say, when he asks the question of God, he says this in verse 11, hope thou in God, for I shall yet praise Him, who is the health of my countenance, and my God. Amen. David said, I think I'll just go ahead and praise You, Lord. I'm just going to go ahead and live for You. I tell you, one of the things that boggles my mind is people who used to serve God and used to come to church and used to they're not even in the house of God anymore. They allowed their situation to overwhelm them. They allowed circumstances to overcome them. Well, I'm going to tell you something. David had a longing for God like a deer toward the cool of the water. He had a love for God even in the middle of the storm, and he had a desire to be in God's house with God's people. But he also had a life, and he said, God is my life. I will pray to the God of my life. Now, when I read that, I say that David says this, I want to live for God. Amen. Now, I've told my wife this in our home there by herself, went through COVID, went through different things. I said, when we have troubles and we have trials, I've said to my wife, no matter what, me and you are going to serve God. Because you're in this with me. You're my wife, and you're going to follow me, and we're going to serve God. Now, she's more of an encourager than me. I'm usually the pessimist, and she's the optimist. I'm a half empty glass kind of guy. She's half full kind of person. But I've actually said this. We're going to serve God all the days of our life. Even when we're overwhelmed with the situations. It is so easy to get caught up in the problems that life can bring and get so discouraged and so overwhelmed. And at times we may even be tempted to think God has forgotten us. And that's why David says, well, Lord, why did you forget me? I'm mourning because of the oppression of my enemy. I mean, as the sword in my bones, my enemies have reproached me. In testing, he may well... God sometimes tests us. I just reading in my Bible reading when he said Philip or Andrew, I can't remember which one of them, they were both talking. I think it was Philip. He said, all these people coming, what are we going to do? And he goes, well, 200 penny worth of money ain't enough to bread. And you know what the Bible said? He said this that he proved his disciples because the Bible says, for he knew what he was going to do. I thought about that. And I think about our life. Sometimes he just throws a question out there to us when we're in the middle of this trouble. And he might say, so you going to serve me? In the times you don't understand?
Yes, sir.
Yeah. For the Lord knew what he was going to do. And by the way, God knows what he's going to do. He's going to work everything out one way or the other. Our life belongs to God, and the truth is he can do with us as he pleases. In our life that belongs to God, it is dangerous to allow doubt to override us just because God doesn't answer our prayer immediately. At times, God may allow the storm to continue longer than we had hoped in order to test us. But in testing us, he may well also give us greater strength to endure the test.
That's right.
Do you think David was a better leader after all this was over? I really do. I believe David would have been a greater leader. I think he would have been able to maybe to pay a little bit more attention to detail. In verse 11, David preaches to himself, why am I discouraged? Look at verse 11. I will say unto God my rock, why hast thou forgotten me? Why go I mourning because of the oppression of the enemy? You know what David is saying? Why am I discouraged? Why am I troubled? My hope is in God. He is the control of my life. In fact, he is my life. Three simple things tonight. In trouble. Love God, long for God, and live for God. Times of discouragement do come. Storms arise where there didn't even seem that there was one yesterday. Yet the antidote to discouragement and depression is this: keep your eyes on the Lord. When we yield to temptation and wallow in our trouble, we will very quickly come more depressed, and the devil begin to whisper in our ear, and we, if not careful, begin to listen to his lies. God don't love you. God doesn't really care. However, if we will long for the Savior and love the Savior and give our life to the Savior, our spirits will be lifted. As we turn our eyes toward the Lord in the house of God, God receives glory through the church. Our spirits will be lifted, and he will take the storm as he sees fit. Then victory will be complete and Jesus will be glorified. As the deer panteth for the water, so my soul longeth after me. This is not a feel-good message. This is a practical message.
Yes, sir.
It was a real reality for David. I like David, though. He rallied. He was that old man that got all of his troops together and defeated the enemy of God. He came back to Israel. He got back to Jerusalem, and he got back to the house of God. And Shimei and Ziba and a couple other people, many of them that followed Absalom, the Bible said they went to their tents and they shut the door. I mean, it doesn't say shut the door, but I get the idea. They weren't going to peek outside the window because they followed the wrong person. David was the king, not Solomon. And I think of David, even in his trouble with Saul, he never laid his hand against Saul. He kept saying over and over, God will take care of it. God will take care of it. God will take care of it. And guess what? One day God took care of it. It took 7 years for David to get to Jerusalem from Hebron. But when he did, the nation was reunited until Absalom came along and tried to disrupt things. Be careful about those who want to disrupt things in the church. Be very careful. It never turns out good for them. Never has, never will. But in that time of trouble, you know what we need to do? Long for God. Love God. And live for God. Amen. Let's stand tonight. Every head bowed, every eye closed. Father, thank you for the Word of God tonight, the life of David, the Psalms that he wrote in times of trouble that we might learn from.